Roseburg would like to welcome The Landing, a senior living community, a distinctive place that believes people make all the difference. At The Landing, you'll find apartments and rooms to fit every need, and your rent will never be raised. Contact The Landing, a senior living community, 672-9696, 672-9696.
From the Midas of Roseburg studio, KQEN weather forecast. Today, showers expected and a high near 64. Tonight, showers likely and 48 for a low. By tomorrow, a chance of showers and 64. And Wednesday, partly sunny and 66 degrees. 61 degrees now, KQEN News Time, 12:35.
And again, a quick traffic update. Interstate 5 southbound off-ramp at Yoncalla closed due to a crash involving a semi and a log truck. Eagle Valley Road also closed at the end of the off-ramp as well. No estimate available for either the ramp or the road reopening. Motorists advised to use alternate routes.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we begin another week of programs on Inside Douglas County. And Douglas County Commissioner Chris Boyce, thanks for being on with us this afternoon.
Always glad to be on with you, Kyle. Thank you.
So we began phase one of reopening in Douglas County and 30 other counties on Friday. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But in terms of the business community aspect of the people that have been hit hard by the COVID-19 situation and the response to it, talk about Douglas County's involvement in helping out the business community.
You know, Kyle, for us, the main priority is to help the businesses understand what the state regulations are in relationship to the executive order, also to track and have information on what programs are available and direct the businesses that contact us to those programs, and more importantly, to support the businesses financially, just as personal, you know, as individuals, not necessarily through the county, that are open. And the community has jumped on that bandwagon and has come together to do that, and we're grateful for that. So, you know, we're excited. Right now, we're a few days into the phase one. I've actually enjoyed a few meals out with my family just to welcome people back to their businesses. We were at Splits last night at the bowling alley. It was fantastic. We've been out to Lager's Pizza and Casey's Restaurant and a few others, and just excited to see people back to work. And more than that, we're excited to see how excited the people are to be back to work.
What about advice to businesses that have reopened already? Some, of course, are in the process of reopening. Somebody asked me about that Friday and pointed out a particular group of places that hadn't opened. And of course, for some, it's a little bit slower process just due to supply chains, getting the food reordered, things like that.
Well, that's true. You know, and it was frustrating for us to have to wait until essentially the day before the 15th, which was what we anticipated would be the reopening day, before we finally got word from the governor that we had the green light, because we knew that so many restaurants and other businesses had to place orders for perishable goods and things, and they're just financially not in a position to be able to gamble ordering those things until they know for sure they're going to be able to use them. But moving forward, I think the main thing for all of us to focus on is understanding that the virus is out there. It is in the community. The majority of the cases that we have in the community have been random cases that people have just gotten through what they call community spread. There hasn't been, at least at this point, any real breakout in any place in the county that's related to, you know, some known direct contacts. So the point is, we want to be diligent. We want to make sure that we don't have to back up from this. We don't want to have to go through this reopening phase and then turn around and have more restrictions come back because we've seen an increase in the spread of the virus in the community. So people need to be diligent about washing their hands, you know, wearing the masks when they're appropriate. But I encourage folks to get out there and enjoy life and liberty and support these businesses that are opening back up But be patient at the same time. You know, restaurants don't have the same seating capacity they've had in the past. They've got new protocols and procedures that they're having to work through. In situations like pet groomers and veterinarians and hairdressers and barbers and nail technicians, not only do they have an extremely busy schedule because they've all got great clientele from the past, but now they're dealing with, you know, 2 months of backup, people not being able to get services and trying to catch up. And so folks need to be diligent and patient.
One of the things that was noted over the weekend, I was talking to some folks that I know in other states, that as we've gone through this situation here in Douglas County, because I do happen to have friends in a lot of different places, I've been asking about what things were restricted, where they were. Talked to somebody late last week in a more of a metro area in the western U.S., but I explained what was reopening up here on Friday. And where they are, even during our closure, where a few things, a lot less were open, their list of things that were open was about 50% more restrictive than ours, and even some of the restrictions about going out of the roads and things like that. I guess in some ways, as frustrating as the past number of weeks have been, it's been worse for other people in lots of other areas of the country.
You know, I think that's true, Kyle, and I think that goes both ways. I mean, it's one of the frustrating parts about this whole situation is the mixed messaging that you get from all different areas. You know, you've got places that claim that they've done absolutely nothing, and they've supposedly have a better response to this than we do. And then you've got places like you just mentioned that had more restrictions in place, and they've, you know, done worse. But the fact of the matter is, I think that there's a lot that goes into it. The, you know, geographic region where you live, population disparity, you know, I think all of that has to do with it. And I think, you know, fortunately for us, and I find this in so many ways, we're fortunate to live in Douglas County, Oregon. You know, Douglas County is a place that I think is naturally, because it's rural, and the sense of community and camaraderie that we share here is sort of predisposed to have success in this particular area, and we've seen that. So I'm grateful for that, and at the same time, I'm sorry for others in other places that where things have been a little bit more restrictive. But the primary focus for us moving forward, again, is to continue to focus on good response to this pandemic, to continue to have positive results. We're looking at you know, potential for phase two on June 5th. It's 21 days in, and so far we're certainly on target to be able to meet the requirements to go into phase two. We're looking at those well ahead, well in advance, and making sure that we try to maneuver the obstacle course the best we can to make sure that we get to move into that phase two when the time comes.
What about federal and state help that's available for businesses that are weathering big losses during this time?
You know, that's been an absolute nightmare. I just was working with Jackson County commissioners this morning on a letter that we're sending to all commissioners statewide and to the entire body of the legislature, talking about the federal aid that was supposed to come through the CARES Act. And the fact of the matter is, not to try to make this too much of a political issue, but our governor and her team have been struggling to manage the money that's coming from the feds in a way that it's going to be beneficial to us. And that's just as nice as I can say that. The bottom line is they've completely dropped the ball. Douglas County, at least, has stepped up early in this game and responded well. You know, put together a team of folks. We basically spent whatever money was necessary in order to get through this, knowing that it was going to be critical to our response, but knowing all along that there was going to be talk about reimbursement from state and federal level. So far, we've seen next to nothing. The state, we know, received $1.6 billion from the feds, and a significant portion of that money was supposed to get passed on to the counties, and it just hasn't happened, and we're having to fight for that as we speak.
I understand that of the amount that's been dispersed so far from the state, that a vast majority of, of that has gone to the metro areas or Portland City government, et cetera?
Right. There was two counties up north and the city of Portland that received a bunch of money. And essentially, up until this point, the state has kept the rest. And they have begun some work on trying to model how they plan to distribute money to the counties. And quite frankly, it's unacceptable. What they're proposing to do gives counties a fraction of what we should receive. And there's no real legitimate reasoning as to who gets what, why, and how much. It really, at this point, just appears to be someone playing political favorites, and it's unacceptable. So we're all working on that together as a coalition of rural Oregon counties and through the Association of Oregon Counties.
Not to get into specific numbers, but overall, kind of give us a picture of some of the things that you've had to put out money for from Douglas County funds.
Well, you know, just one small example of something that you may not have even considered is when this thing first got ramped up and restaurants closed, Umpqua Dairy was sitting on a whole bunch of food that had been ordered and staged to be able to shipped out to restaurants that was going to go to waste. So Douglas County ended up buying that food from Umpqua Dairy and using and redirecting it and using it to feed seniors through our senior meals program. You know, that's one example. We actually had to stand up and essentially build an emergency operations center. And the reason for that is we had one here in the county, but it's in the sheriff's department. And because of the nature of the records and things that are kept there, people needed security clearances and other things to be able to access that room. And we couldn't work that way. So we basically set up an EOC across the hall from the commissioner's office. I just left the meeting today where we essentially have the final wrap-up of our emergency operations center and handing the management of the pandemic back directly to Douglas Public Health Network. But between revenue shortfalls that we've seen through, you know, our RV parks, camping systems, and all the other things that the county does, and the added expense, you know, I haven't got a chance to tally the numbers, but I can say with pretty high level of confidence that, you know, Douglas County's into this $1 million or $1.5 million easily. And that's without downside economic impacts. That's just cash out of pocket, acquiring PPE and paying staff and inventorying PPE and spending money on contact tracers and, you know, all the things that we've had to do in order to get to where we are today. It's expensive, and we do need to be able to see money from that CARES Act that was supposed to go from the federal government to the state government and then specifically to counties to help pay for our responses, and we'll continue to fight for that.
Going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. County Commissioner Chris Boyce, the interview and podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1248. Back in 2 minutes on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1250 News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1, talking health with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer and others this afternoon at 4. And on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, we look at substance abuse, mental health, and related topics during this time of COVID-19 with one of our local professionals who works in that arena. County Commissioner Chris Boyce in with us this afternoon. Phase one for 21 days, and you mentioned a little bit ago that you feel like so far things seem to be going pretty well.
We do look like we're well within the parameters as far as trajectory to go into phase two when we get there, Kyle. We've got I just got an update, as I mentioned, in the EOC right before I got on the radio. We do have some concerns about PPE, availability over at the coast that we're working on right now to make sure we get that supply chain shored up before we end up in a shortage situation over there. And then we got to monitor, obviously, new cases, hospitalizations, so on. There's been some confusion in the last few days about new cases. We actually had a new case reported 2 or 3 days ago that was credited to Douglas County that actually wasn't our case. So that case has now gone away. But one, over the weekend, positive test came back. So we are at 25 for the county and currently no hospitalizations other than the same one that we've been dealing with for quite a while. So we're in good shape.
As you look towards phase two in early June, earlier the governor's office had talked about more about phase two and what that could look like. Have you seen anything about that so far?
There's still a lot of unanswered questions, Kyle. That's really what we're seeing, is that we have a plan, but we really don't know what the plan is. And it's been frustrating, especially for businesses that are trying to come back from this disruption in their business. But the bottom line is, you know, you're still looking at the same social distancing requirements. You're looking at the same cleanliness and mask wearing recommendations, but your number of people in groups can go up, I think, to 100 in phase two. And again, all that stays contingent upon the trajectory of the number of cases going in the right direction. And that's not to say, you know, that we can't have any new cases. Of course, we don't want to have any new cases, but we expect that as long as this virus is around and until there is a treatment for it, or a, you know, antidote, if you will, that there's going to be some new cases.
You know, I was thinking earlier as I was going through some different articles early this morning and seeing some of the things going on in California, for example, where things are ratcheted down there much more tightly and are forecast to be that way through part or maybe all of the summer. And some of the San Francisco business community, some of the high-tech companies, folks like that, have talked about keeping more of their staff working from home in the long term, that for many job positions and with the ability of meeting up with employees via Zoom and other online platforms, they're going to keep that in place for a long time. And the question occurs to me that if you are in one of those areas where things have been so restricted, if there may not be, over time, once we get further up the road with this situation, some folks in these very large areas, Los Angeles, San Francisco, even Seattle and Portland perhaps, that are in professions where they can easily work online, do their jobs effectively, maybe have occasional visits in person with staff, etc. Don't you think there's a potential for some of those folks to want to come to a place like Douglas County where they can have a higher quality of life or a less restricted quality of life? And yet still be able to do the kind of work they're doing right now?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's a given. You know, you see places like Douglas County have been listed for a long time as, you know, retirement communities. And people get done with their career and they move here because they're looking for this quality of life. And so what this has done is it absolutely has changed, at least in certain sectors, the way that we do business and that we conduct business and the way that we actually do our jobs in a lot of places. So now that folks have the ability to continue to be productive in their job and their livelihood and do that remotely, I don't see any reason why people wouldn't be sort of getting ahead of the game and in improving their quality of life and their living situation if they can do that while they still actually work remotely.
You know, and down in the San Francisco Bay Area, a fixer-upper is $900,000, which is much different than our real estate price structure here.
There's no question about that. And, you know, the again, we mentioned this earlier, there's a tremendous number of advantages to living in places like Douglas County. And it's exciting to be able to be here in a place where we have a tight-knit community. We've got all the amenities of nature right around us at our front doorstep. I think you're absolutely right, Kyle. I think you're going to see people sort of reevaluate their lives after having to go through this situation and look for something different.
We're going to talk more about this in the 4 o'clock hour with Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, but just touch briefly on some of the things that Douglas Public Health Network's been involved in.
So that's really something that you're going to have to talk to them more about, because I see that from the 30,000-foot view. You know, the county retained the public health authority, so they essentially work under our direction. But as far as the intricacies of how they do their jobs and what they do exactly, that's not a level that I get into. Dr. Dannenhofer is going to be able to answer that way better than I can. But just from an administrative level, I know that Douglas Public Health Network is in charge of the contact tracing. Sorry, I can't talk for some reason. But the contact tracing, they've also been communicating with all the different medical providers, if you will. They're sort of a hub of the wagon wheel, where they communicate with all the different medical providers. They're the ones that are inventorying the PPE. They're the ones that are keeping track of the testing that's going on in all the different facilities. And I think there's been some confusion about that. You know, folks think that the county's doing the testing, but there's actually testing going on everywhere. And Douglas Public Health Network is the keeper of the statistics.
All right, County Commissioner Chris Boyce, thanks for being on this afternoon.
My pleasure, Kyle. Thank you.
1258 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.